workshop. Do I hear a motion to modify or adopt the agenda for our 5:45 workshop on Riverside Drive, Community Sensitive Solutions? Trustee Harris,
move to adopt as presented.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, who should we open this up to for discussion? Looks like Mr. Barrett would like to talk.
Well, yeah, you have in your packet, a handout that covers the topics that I think we should be covering. The reason we're having this meeting is because the DOT would like to zero in on some of the things that are decisions that we need to make as a community. And so this is the step forward to do that. We've listed the things that we believe are the topics that we need to or should have input to in the decisions that we want to make as it relates to the project. And then we'll kind of walk through this. And I tried to include examples, so we'll kind of go back and forth from the topic to the pages and show you what it looks like. And then at the regular board meeting, you can decide to, you know, make whatever decisions you want to make or carry it as far as you'd like to. We do have a little bit of time to make decisions, but the Department of Transportation would like to proceed with the more detailed projects, so this is part of that process. We do have several of the folks here from the DOT, which you've all met in the past. They are going to another meeting, so this is a stop kind of on the way. They're not all here just for us. This just happens to be around right.
What time do they need to be out?
6:30, 6:45, somewhere in that area. And I believe if we want, Dan will stay for the board meeting itself, too, I believe, if we feel that that would be useful to get to that point. What I'd like to do is just kind of walk through these issues, and then if we have specific details that Andy and his crew can address, we can also call on them to help us with the topics. First item is just the general location of the sidewalks of Riverside Drive. On page 2 and 3 is pictures of what is included in the sidewalks that are proposed in the project. And by the way, for those of you, there are some copies of this here. You can follow along.
Okay. In our packets, we didn't have a page 3. But
okay.
So we don't have north of 172, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I noticed I made some copies for this, extra copies for this session, and it didn't pick up page 3 of the copy machine for some reason. I'll just pass this around and take a look at it. You've seen these photos before. This is the sidewalk that was proposed. Basically, there's a sidewalk on the east side the full length of the route. On the west side, there's sidewalk that will be included in the south residential area. And then there's sidewalk in the Alloway St. Joseph area that is what we call a commercial sidewalk to service the businesses along that route. That's what's proposed. And there's some sidewalk on the north end, also on the west side. That's what's proposed and included in the project. So, from the village board standpoint, if you want to see something different, then that's a decision that we should make. But this has been established based on the input from, you know, the workshops and input from the board and input from Public Works. And so this is kind of where we're at this point. Personally, I feel this is a good approach. This is where we kind of started way back in the beginning 2 years ago, kind of the concept that we thought made sense. And this is pretty close to that original concept, actually probably a little bit more. But to me, it's kind of a logical approach. I don't know if you have any questions about that or comments. Yes?
A couple things. I know it's just a small amount on page 3 that we just saw, but I want to make sure that we'd be keeping the area of path that was just constructed north of 172 on the west side. if you look literally at the page 3, it doesn't show it, but I want to make sure that I assume it would be, but I'd rather bring it up and make sure that it would continue. The other thing is I didn't know if we wanted to consider continue on the south side of 172, consider on south side of 172, left or west side of the street, continuing the sidewalk north from Stambaugh to the Willowbrook complex. One of the things we'd be able to do then is whatever development happens in between Stambaugh and Willowbrook, where you have sidewalk, as well as allow the workers at those at that facility to utilize the sidewalk. I know they have the trail behind them, but it still would allow them to utilize a sidewalk further south to the path itself, to the boat landing, so on and so forth. Those are the things that I saw right off the bat.
That is a question that came up a couple times through the workshop. The consensus was not to put it there, but that is a decision that you can make. It is extended up to Stambaugh because we did relocate a crossing.
Right.
So we did extend it further. But that additional piece up to Willowbrook was not in there. So that is an option that you have.
And Craig, can you review the reasons why that was decided? Do you recall?
I think it was primarily the need. There wasn't. I think that the workshop team didn't feel that there was enough traffic in that area to warrant that, and it was a dead end at that point. And I think that was the reason why.
And I know one of the other reasons was who's going to maintain it, and if no one's there, like a 25-acre parcel, there's no one living there, so who would maintain that sidewalk in the snow? With the snow on that side?
And that is an important point. When we had sidewalk, we are, as a village, there's maintenance that we're incurring in the future, snow plowing and sidewalk maintenance. So anyway, that is something that you could do.
What would the cost if you extended the sidewalk from Stambaugh to save the 172 to the new path right now down to the Fox River? Approximately, do we know what that would cost?
I get lots.
I don't think we would incur cost, but that would be
sidewalk on the west side from Stambaugh to 172.
That would be part of the project.
Be project cost.
Okay.
Okay. Item 2 on the list. Bike lanes are included in the project. They're 4-foot wide bike lanes. I think it's a plus in retaining the bike lanes because it is bike access that we are providing on a major route. Would we like to see a wider bike lane? Sure. But there are a lot of streets that do have the 4-foot bike lanes and they're workable. This is not a bike route that would be for the family to take the kids on. This is for the true bikers that either go to work on a bike or they bike a lot and they want the true route. It's included in the project. I guess my personal feeling is it would be good to retain it in the project. It does help with lowering the speeds on the road to have the bike lanes in there, a stripe, that does help with that. But again, that is something that is an option. It may not change the design of the roadway itself.
I saw that in the notes. Why wouldn't it? I know we have the curb, and then we have the little area, and then you have the widened bike lane.
I think the preference by the DOT is to retain that area, even if it isn't used as a formal bike lane, but that may be something you want to comment on.
As far as the bike lanes go, we understand that there's been comments and concerns from the village as far as including that 4-foot accommodation. Referring to what Craig was saying, our preferred lane width is 12 feet. Right now, out there, it's 11-foot lanes. our, in our preferred alternative, we are showing 11-foot lanes with the 4-foot bike accommodation, with a desirable design. If the accommodations were removed, it would be 2 12-foot lanes within a 2-foot gutter, so it would be the same. We could continue to look and see if 11-foot lanes would be acceptable without that bike accommodation. That would be something we could pursue. But again, that width would be the same whether we had the 2 12-foot lanes and the 2-foot gutter or the 2 11-foot lanes and the 4-foot bike accommodation. Just a couple other items. We took a closer look at this since our public meeting, knowing that this was a hot topic issue. Here's a couple other points as far as why, some pros and cons as far as why we think the bike accommodations, including them in the project, is the right thing to do. One, and the, something similar as far as Craig was getting to with the speeds, it also increases the buffer area between the edge of travel lane and sidewalk. So it adds an additional 2 feet from where vehicles will be traveling to where that sidewalk is. It matches the roadway section on Monroe Avenue that was built in 2014. So this would, this section of 57 would connect to future, to accommodations that would be built on future projects on 57. Again, it's, you know, we can't do it all at once, but when there are other projects that come up in 57, this, the other section in Green Bay, South End Pier, we would look at including those accommodations there as well. Along those lines, it's consistent with DOT's Connections 2030 plan that was developed in conjunction with the Green Bay Metropolitan Planning Organization for providing urban bicycle and pedestrian connections. And there is information out there on the DOT website as far as showing that map. It does differentiate between the Fox River Trail and then including those accommodations on the roadway. As Craig alluded to, it was also identified as a bike route by the village as we began our study with this project in 2012. We also, looking at the comments from our public meeting, comments do show a desire for bike accommodations out there. We have did a tally of comments, and there's approximately, of the written comments, there was 12-4 and 9 opposed to the bike lanes, and that's over the course of our 3 public meetings. Another item we took a close look at was real estate impacts if we were to remove the 2-foot bike accommodation from both sides. There's minimal difference in significant property impacts, and that's when you're looking at trees or fence or parking at the commercial properties. We're only saving 1.5 to 2 feet on each side when you look, you know, you're reducing that slope intercept by about 2 feet. Removal of the accommodation will only for sure reduce impacts to 2 parcels. That's significant impacts. There's impacts to parking at one commercial parcel, and then impacts to a fence at one residential parcel. That would be, we could eliminate by eliminating that 2 feet. That's how close we are, only at 2 parcels. There are 15 other parcels where we need additional survey, and that's to focus on the exact location of trees. There are some design refinements that have potential to eliminate the impacts. That's without removing that 2 feet. So we aren't sure if removal of the bike accommodations will change the status of those impacts. On the con side, again, overall, 2 feet on each side, there is an additional amount of overall area of real estate impacts with the project. If we were to pursue removal of the bike accommodations, we would have to submit our environmental document to Federal Highways without the bike accommodations included. Now, currently we have checked with FHWA, the bike accommodations are an acceptable design with the way they're included in there now. So we feel our design is acceptable, and we would get through an acceptable amount of time with FHWA. Whereas if we didn't have the bike accommodations in there, we would anticipate some additional time in the review and discussions back and forth. And even if that takes an additional 2 to 3 months, that has potential to delay the project by at least a year. So that's the risk we run there as well. So those are our thoughts on the bike accommodations. Turn it back over to Craig.
Thank you, Randy. So anyway, that's kind of the overview of the bike lanes. and that's a decision for you.
Excuse me, Craig, could I just ask one question on those bike lanes? If we didn't have a bike lane, could we use that extra space for more sidewalk
curves
so that the sidewalks aren't as close to the street?
Yeah, I believe so. We could do that.
Or we could use it.
Has that been discussed in any way? I mean, since there's a path right next to it, I know that doesn't count as a bike. But it just seems, I know that when we talked about it, there was some of the sidewalk that's pretty close to the street.
There are some areas. Actually, some of the CSS items, a small amount, is related to that, where it is close to the curb, or you might have a two-foot boulevard. So this would enlarge that, but it's a small area.
And if we were to look at something like that, what kind of impact would that have on the project?
Well, I think what Andy just said is that they would anticipate that the review time there.
Mm-hmm. And how about cost?
But by an increased amount of terrace area versus I mean, we'd see a reduction in cost, not for the village, but a small reduction in project cost just because of the lesson.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it to be a big cost factor. Let's go to three, and that's the community sense of solution options, because that's the biggest item that we have to address. And there's a table, and it's complicated. There's a lot of items, but what we tried to show here is that if we started with the base case, bare bones, then if we added option one, where we put some colored concrete in instead of plain concrete or option one with concrete, option two colored concrete, option three colored concrete with stamped medians and things of that sort, option four where we go to a combination of lawn, mulch medians, and some ornamental plantings, and then option five, kind of looking at it and saying, we did some of this, and we did some of this, and we did some of this to come up with what seems to be a nice approach, but the most reasonable cost, that's what option five is. You can pick any combination in here you want. It is a lot to decipher, but let's just go down the list and see if we can kind of work our way through it. The pedestrian cost crosswalks with the red broom concrete, we need that. That is a safety thing. Makes the crosswalk stand out. If you go across to the last column on the right, option five, with putting in some good durable white striping and the red broom concrete, you know, you're talking about $17,000 to $18,000 cost to the village for the project. But those are would be good safety features. They would stand out. They would be very noticeable to the automobile traffic. There's a picture of what that would look like on page six with the broom finished concrete. Kind of gives you an idea of what that would look like. And on page, let's see here, I guess I don't have page five in here either. I don't see that.
Yeah, page five's here.
Page five's
got all the numbers on.
Page five is this one.
Yeah. So there is also a picture later on in here. It's on page 15. You can see what the crosswalk will look like with the red blue finish.
And that has to get painted every once in a while?
So that's what the crosswalks would look like, except that when you look at page 15, the white striping will stand out more with what we're proposing here. This would be the same striping that's used like on 172 and Webster, the fiberglass strips, so that it's very durable and stands out, yes.
Okay.
what are, on the different things that we're going through, can we also talk about, we've got the one-time installation, so to speak, but then are there annual maintenance costs? I mean, Trustee Raptor mentioned it just quickly, like the red room, will we have to regularly paint that, or is that the color of the concrete itself?
The concrete,
and it may fade a little bit with the sun, but otherwise it doesn't need any maintenance.
We didn't address the maintenance cost in here on any of the items, but on the concrete, whether it's brushed or whether it's stamped, we are going to have to do some maintenance every 3-4 years, apply some sealer and things of that sort. Same with the sidewalk, long term with the sidewalk. We're going to get some panels that pitch or crack or get damaged. We're going to have to handle that in our sidewalk maintenance program. There's going to be things like that. We are going to be plowing sidewalks as part of this. Andy gave me this. That's a picture of a crosswalk. And later on, we're going to talk about that signaling that's on there. Anyway, that's the crosswalks. The medians on the highway. On page 9, you can see two sections of the roadway. The narrow median is obviously the narrow section of the median on the upper portion by Taft. And then if you look at the lower section, 172, you can see narrow median and wide median. So when we talk about the wide median, that's what we're talking about. Like at that intersection at 172, you can see the wide section with the green lawn area and the shrubs. The narrow medians, if we leave that as just plain concrete or colored concrete, if we go with the colored concrete on this project and those narrow medians, and the colored, what we've been talking about is the medium tan.
Can it also be stamped?
That would be plain, just a plain concrete surface, but it would be, like on page 16, there's a picture of the medium tan. If we use a colored concrete like that, the medium will stand up very well. You'll see it when you're driving with your automobile. You'll see that. Yes?
I don't know if our guest from the DOT can answer this one, but the plain concrete as opposed to the colored concrete in the median, which will there be any kind of a speed effect? If it's colored, will that do something along the lines of, we know that the existence of a bike lane can help decrease speed. Will changing the color of the concrete have any, has anyone seen any effect on that in terms of reducing speed?
I don't know if we can say that there's a definitive study specifically related to the color, but we can tell you anything bold, anything that catches your eye is what helps slow the speed down. Anything that makes it feel a little bit more crowded is what pulls the speed down. So my expectation would be that colored concrete there could help with that, but I couldn't reference you to a specific study saying we know colored medians will do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that these type of accents do help with the traffic speeds. Combined together, it makes a difference.
Well, and there's also an aesthetic component, too.
Yes.
I mean, because the goal was to make this a very attractive boulevard. Yeah.
Right.
And this coloring and stamping, aids in that effect.
This is a very minimal cost, and I think it's a nice feature to have. Now, if you go to the wide medians, on the left-hand side, base case is a grass median. That's the standard. There isn't a cost to us to have the DOT do that. And it's a grass median like we would have on Webster. If you go to option 2 or 3, and we put in concrete, either brush or stamped, you can see that it's pretty expensive. It's over $100,000 to do that. If you go to option 4, and we use lawn and mulching and a planting mix, you know, there's about $75,000 there in mulching and planting, and that is mediums like we saw on that picture we were talking about, page 9, you can see the planters in there, so you can see what that looks like. At least, you know, small, but you can kind of get a view of what it looks like. The thought was over in option 5, and the option to consider is that we would scale back a bit on the landscaping and the plantings. How much, don't exactly know, but basically put a $75,000 cost on it. It'll probably be less than that. But that is a nice touch, and it's done on the wide medians at the major intersections. So you got Alloway Avenue, you got St. Joseph, you got Highway 172. That's kind of a nice feature. Recognize these costs are very preliminary. When we get to the bottom line, we're going to say, you know, you might spend $200,000, you might spend $250,000. That will be worked out as we go forward to get to the details, just to get us in some sort of a range for the concept that you're comfortable with. But anyway, using some mulch, some plantings, would be a nice feature. This gives you an idea of that cost. On the residential sidewalks right below that, There's a couple spots where we're very close to the curb, and there's also some slope behind the sidewalk. So there's a few thousand dollars in here for some curbs to accentuate that and deal with the slopes. It's about a $5,000 cost in the project, and I think that's a nice feature. And being colored, it'll look nice. Yes.
Are those the walls like at Alloway Avenue?
No, these are more like just a curb, like a 12-inch, 18-inch curb. That would be right in the residential areas on the south end, where there's a couple spots where we have some slopes from the lawns that come down. So this is a small area, but that's included in here. Now, the sidewalks themselves, residential, is included in the project. And also, if you look at the commercial sidewalk on the west side is included in the project. But if you look at the commercial, I've yellowed the colored concrete. That's a terrace between the sidewalk and the curb. Again, it's to make it look nice. It would be the tan color. That's a $48,000 cost. But it's to enhance the look of that area.
And that's the commercial down by Alloway, St. Joseph on the west side.
Part of the thought process in that is, if you think about what we want to do with Riverside or with Webster Avenue at some point in the future, that would also have a terrace that would be colored concrete, whether it's tan or it's a reddish color. But when you look at a commercial area like that on Webster and you want to create that white boulevard and the ornamental look, a lot of times that's what you go with. And so this is kind of along the same thought process. But again, that could be wrong. That's what that item is. So the total of the sidewalks for what we show here in this option 5 is about $54,000 estimated at this time.
Craig, and just to clarify, when Craig was talking about the raised curbs behind the sidewalk and coloring those, the cost for the concrete is going to be part of the project, and we would see a benefit that helps reduce impacts to yards and keeps things flatter. Craig and the committee had decided, the committee had talked about when Craig was getting at was coloring them or including them as like a colored border or to add to accentuate them. So.
The next item is the tree plantings. And in the packet that you have, I went at the back, there was the cost actually provided by the department to us, and what I did was extract them and put them in the stable. It was a cost of around $80,000 for, when you look at all of these pictures of the roadway and you see all the trees in there, it was around an $80,000 to $85,000 cost for the trees and the plantings. We have the option of reducing that a bit, and I think the consensus of the staff is that we would probably want to reduce it a little bit. We don't need to have every area fully planted, and there are some trees we can take advantage of. So that's why I show over on the right-hand side roughly about a $50,000 cost. It'll be determined as the design proceeds. There'll be a landscape architect working with the DOT that will work with us on that, and that will be laid out. But We just kind of felt we could lower that cost a little bit and still have a very nice roadway. And then lighting. We have the option in the lighting of either having the lighting done by the Department of Transportation as part of the project, or we can do the lighting, again, as part of the project, or we can do it with WPS. And we're leaning toward the idea of doing this with WPS because we don't have the facilities to maintain overhead street lighting. All of our other lighting is done by the WPS. This $175,000 would be the cost, our share of the cost, for new street lighting on Riverside Drive. The other half of the cost is a project cost for the DOT. These would be the decorative, not, well, I'll call them decorative. They're either fiberglass or painted aluminum poles overhead, similar to what we have on Huffman Road. So this would enhance the look of the area. Lighting has to be done anyway as part of the project. It's just a question of whether it's done by the DOT and we pay half the cost, or we do it and they pay half the cost. The $175,000 is the estimate based on a preliminary concept and then a quotation from WPS for the cost.
Is that $175 total or $175 village portion?
Village portion, $175. And then right below it is the sidewalk decorative lighting. And what we did is we just looked at all of our main intersections, you know, Alloway, St. Joseph, 172. We looked at the commercial area on the west side where we have the sidewalk. And we looked at some selected other areas. And we inserted decorative sidewalk lighting, that's sort of 14-foot poles, and they're spaced in between the lighting that's there, as a first estimate of what would be done with that. That is our cost. That's not a project cost. And that's about $150,000. So I don't have a picture of the lighting for you, but it's just like what you see
in the pier or up in Green Bay.
You know, when you see the lighting, that's very similar to that. I think it's a nice feature to further develop. It does enhance those areas, particularly all these intersections where we have pedestrian crossings. We have this lighting, so you'd be able to, you'd have the sidewalk lit, you'd have lighting, you have a street light, you have lighting on the sidewalk. So that's a nice way to enhance those, especially for late evening and so forth. But our preliminary cost is $150,000. So if you look at this, and what we did is we made an estimate of what the cost will be. And there's some cost shares and some items. So this is preliminary, you know. We got about $524,000 for the total cost. The shared portion of the cost would be about $332,000, leaving our cost at about $191,000. My suggestion is you look at this and say, well, we're going to spend in the range of $200,000 to $250,000, depending on the final design. But this is a reasonable cost for a project of this size for the features that we can put in. So that's, from a cost standpoint, those are the items you need to think about, and we can kind of pick the options we want, but we kind of looked at it and said what seems to make sense, and that's how we came up with option 5.
So out of that total of $523,500, total estimated cost, the village direct pay component would be $191 million.
Now, there's some other things that I wanted to just touch base on. We don't have a lot of time, but I won't touch base on it because I think they're things that we ought to be thinking about in the project and as we go further. Item 4, pedestrian crosswalk at St. Joseph. We do have, and this is a design issue, and this is something that we need to explore a little bit more, but I wanted to bring up the idea that if you look at page 20, we have a crosswalk up on the north end where the sidewalk ends. We have a crosswalk across Riverside Drive up on that north end of the commercial sidewalk, but we don't actually have a crosswalk at Lazar. And we're going to be connecting the sidewalk on Lazar to Riverside Drive, so I think we should explore the idea of having a crosswalk somewhere close by so you don't have to walk down to Alloway Avenue or up to the other one or walk across the wide street. So that's something that I think we should consider. It's something we've talked about in the project and the workshops, but it hasn't been finalized. So that's something we should think about. There was another request or discussion in the past about a pedestrian crosswalk at Lazar because of the traffic from Heritage Hill. But I think in that case, because we're going to have stoplights and a nice crosswalk just 3/4 of a block south of there, or a block south of there, that that one doesn't seem like that's a good place to invest in another crosswalk, because we'll have a better one very close by. But it has been brought up, and I wanted to make sure that's something that we thought about. I do think in item 6, I know that they're probably not real effective, but the idea of putting some flashing lights on these crosswalks, that will be our cost, but I don't know that that's going to be a large cost. I think that's something that we ought to explore to help with those pedestrian crosswalks rather than just signage, and we consider some yellow flashing lights like that one picture that passed around. Item 7, I think that as we go forward, we should explore, and this would be something we would do on our own, enhance the access points to the Fox River Trail via some hard surface walkways to the trail. There's 2 or 3 places we can do that. I think as this project moves forward, we look at those things, begin to develop those, see if there's some potential funding that we can get to help with it. But I think as public works projects, those are some things we ought to be looking at implementing as we go forward. We could, you know, look at one at the Heritage Hill Stormwater Treatment Pond. The easy point, we own, or we have all access to that property, we own the roadway to it. So that's one we could look at doing. There's some things we have to comply with to do it, but it's doable. And of course, up here at St. Francis Park would be a good place to make a connection. So that's something that we should be looking at as we go forward. And then also, as part of this project, we probably ought to look at connecting the St. Joseph sidewalk all the way down the Riverside Drive, so we have that walking route completed when this project is done. So,
Where does the St. Joseph sidewalk end today?
It's on the diocese property, but the diocese was looking at expanding their sidewalk, extending their sidewalk further. They just didn't do it in the current project. So, you know, we would have further discussion with them on that and see if we can integrate it together in the next 2 or 3 years to get that done. One of the things that we're going to include in our budget this next year is that there's areas where we should be adding some sidewalk to complete routes that we already have, but they aren't finished. And this would be one of those where it would be nice to complete a portion of the sidewalk where it makes sense. School routes and things, for example, where we end a block or two short of connecting to another connecting sidewalk that would make it more walkable. This would be one of those where, as time goes on, we just add a little bit here and there to fill out the route and make it more complete. And then there's also, starting with page 21, these are the questions that have come up. We put some information together on some of the questions and then asked the Department of Transportation to add, that's the red notes. They've added some notes to it. And this is just for your information and reference to some of the things that have come up as we go along that are part of, and they're part of what we covered on this first page, trying to integrate these things in and address those issues. So that's where we're at.
Well, I appreciate all the work that the Public Works Department put into this. I mean, there's a lot of complex and moving parts to this whole process, and this was a manageable way, in my estimation, to present it for further dialogue and consideration. So I think this work product is very good. I think it, you know, results from a lot of questions asked of by our staff at the DOT and a lot of resident comments and concerns that have come out through this process.
I do have a question in regards to page 12, where it showed the crosswalk on section 8, basically. And we talked about the possibility of moving that crosswalk further north so that it would have a destination point being that green triangle there, there was some talk about possibilities of using that as the access point for that marine driver, and that would be something that we had discussed previously.
It could be moved further to the north. Part of the reason I think for being right here is it gives you that walking path where you can look out over that river area as you traverse the sidewalk here. So, but yeah, and I think that's probably flexible as to where that could go.
Because I know that we, at the time that we discussed it, we were talking about in relation to the that other piece or bit of land down there and the access, the funnel access down to Marine Drive. So that's something I hope we don't lose sight of. And then just a side question, how many feet from curb to curb is it under the current plan as we look at it?
30.
Rolling.
Yes, please.
52 feet, face of curb to face of curb. Except where there's turn lanes and medians, of course.
Any other questions that the board has? I know the regular board meeting starts at 6:30, but if we can, I'll open it up for just, you know, a few questions or comments. I don't want it to drag on too long since we're supposed to start the other meeting at 6:30, but this is a very important topic. Sir?
Yes.
If you could come, you got to state your name and address so we have it for the record.
My name is Jim Waters, 525 Arrowhead Drive. My question is on signage at crosswalks. I notice in other areas there's literally a sign in the middle of the street where it says state law must stop for pedestrians. Is that part of the signage?
I can answer that. That is not part of the standard signage that the DOT would put in there. Those are considered portable, but we would permit the municipality to put those up there.
The only question I've asked, being a pedestrian a number of times in those crosswalks, you're playing Russian roulette unless you have something significant in terms of, you know, I like when you were talking about the flashing lights or something that really, you know, tells the driver this is something that they must slow down to. If they don't, just seeing a pedestrian crosswalk is oblivious to somebody who's going 35 miles an hour, just been has been stopped going 25 through the pier. Now he gets to go 35, which means he gets to go 40, 42 miles an hour. You know, those pedestrian crosswalks become a potential danger zone as opposed to a pedestrian crosswalk, unless you have significant signage.
No, very, very good point. We'll make a note to keep that in the discussion. Anybody else from the public that wants to comment or ask a question? Mr. O'Rourke.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd like to see a pedestrian accommodation going from Stanball Road down to 172 to the new trail that we have that would give people in the Taft Street neighborhood access to both the Fox River Trail and to the beautiful new prairie that we have planted at the retention pond. That is the state park, and the area outside the fence of Heritage Hill could become very beautiful if the neighbors noticed how nice it is and the way that you get them to care about Heritage Hill and that area is to get them walking there. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. Anyone else from the public will have a question or a comment concerning the Riverside Drive project? Ma'am.
My name is Roberta Roloff, and I live at 330 Rayburn Court. The DOT people have worked diligently and have met with us personally, which I very much appreciate. In their discussion with me, they did say that the iron fence that surrounds, I believe it's called the Coles Estate, will be replaced. And that gladdens my heart and satisfies me enormously. My question simply is, how will we be sure that that really does happen? I feel so so much more comfortable if, instead of having a verbal promise, we would have something in writing. Is that asking too much? But it is a question that I would like to address.
Well, I'll let our DOT guests respond to that.
Yeah, that's something we can work on as part of the real estate agreement.
You're
that
such
would be
great guys.
Boy, you guys don't hear that very often, do you?
We're just enough to keep us happy. As part of the real estate agreement, that would be in writing, but if there's something before we actually get to that point, it's something we can put together some kind of statement on. You know, the fence is a private property piece of, it's part of the private property. So it's up to the property owner whether or not they want that replaced or to be compensated for it or something. In Roberta's case, she obviously wants it replaced. The other property owners, it's up to them. We've spoken with them, and so far, 4 out of the 5 are in agreement. The 5th one has not got back to us yet.
Excuse me,
so
what did you say about the other one?
I said 4 out of the 5 now have said they would like to have it replaced. And
yes,
there's one that we have not had a chance to talk to yet. So we could put together something stating that, you know, we have a verbal agreement along those lines.
Well, and that'll ultimately be part of the real estate acquisition.
Yes, it would be part of the real estate agreement.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure from the village end we monitor that as well. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Ma'am. Just a few more minutes, and then we're going to start the regular board meeting.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Cindy Jones, I'm at 532 Arrowhead Drive. And I agree these guys are great over here, and they've met with us often. And unfortunately, I feel like the final plan really hasn't taken into consideration a lot of our neighborhood concerns. I don't feel like we have time really to address it right now, but I just want to be on record saying not everybody is okay with the plan going forward.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, any time that you do a project like this, you're going to find, you know, one of those ones where regrettably everyone can't be pleased. You do the best you can. And so far the DOT has been very, very cooperative in working and addressing concerns. And we trust that kind of a relationship will go forward, and as the final plans come into existence, that any lingering concerns will be addressed to the extent that they can. So it's been a very good working relationship so far, so we appreciate the DOT's flexibility on a number of things. And I think if folks look at the plans from when they very first started to where they kind of are now conceptually, you see where a lot of resident and village input has modified the conceptual design over time. And I suspect that will continue until the final plans are cast. Anybody else? Well, I appreciate everyone's interest and sitting here and listening, because, you know, we're going to get one good shot at this to make this the boulevard that we want to have in our village. And the residents have been very good in communicating with the village and with the DOT, and the DOT has been wonderful in holding a number of informational meetings, you know, so that people's input could be received. Not done yet. You know, lots of details to work out, and those will be coming. So keep your interest up and keep your comments and information flowing. So, anybody else from the board on this issue? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn the 5:45 meeting? Trustee Harris, second. Second by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
That meeting is adjourned.